I don't know if you know this or not. I know you probably keep up with things a lot better than I do, current events, but the abortion rate has dropped over the last several years. It's been a steady decline. And those having abortion, I think it has something to do with the voice has been raised, not in opposition necessarily always to abortion, but in support of life, that life is precious. When that heart starts beating, and before that, the Lord said, I saw you when you were in the womb, before you ever had any members, before you ever had any fingers or ears. He saw you before conception even. And that he knows those infants that are in the womb before they ever start having fingers and ears and all of that. He knows them, and he's aware of their life. He is the giver of life, matter of fact. And to destroy a baby in the first few months is horrible, but to think what they've passed in New York and some other places. My understanding is in the state of Tennessee, or one of the states, had a resolution. They voted that as soon as there's a heartbeat, they consider a person. And so there's some efforts that away. But it seemed like in all the efforts, there's still been a decline in it. And I was thinking this morning as I was thinking and praying about the message today and about all that we're seeing, that, you know, the escalation, a raising of the age, you know, they could abort the baby just even a few days before actual birth date and all of that. And it may be it's a matter of the fact that they're not having enough aborted babies, killed babies. And so they feel like there's need for a larger harvest of those individuals and for whatever purpose they use them for and research. But I remember years ago, Brother Roy Rigdon, preached friend of this church, and all of you know him well. He worked part-time in the funeral home. And I don't mean to gross you out this morning, but it just really stuck with me over all these years. And he said occasionally they'd have to go to Tallahassee, which is kind of like our Raleigh. We have someone who has, if there's a death and there has to be an autopsy, you know, they Chapel Hill or somewhere, I don't know where they go to, but they would always go to Tallahassee, and he would have to go pick them up. And as a preacher, he, of course, had a burden for people. But that's one of the most shaking things he had to do. Not that he saw so many things, but the attitude of the people who were there. He said to them, it was no different. And that may not be true of everybody, please understand me. But that they had no regard for the fact that this was a person. There was no sense of reverence or the treatment. And quite honestly, he said that to them, it was no different than a cow or anything else. And he said he'd actually been in when there was a body. He'd been, they were doing an autopsy currently on, and everything was out, and somebody would be in there eating their lunch. And it was just such a common, and it just kind of hurt me that people could get so cold, and our nation's so cold. But it ought not to surprise us, because the Bible said wicked men will wax worse and worse. There is in the last days, and it began even in New Testament time, he said the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And everything God loves, Satan hates. And the satanic influence in our nation is rampant. Demon activity is everywhere. And you see it everywhere. And all that's going on is an escalation of the end time. The Bible said Satan hath come down with great wrath because he knows his days are numbered. And so that's what's going on. And the abortion issue and the crime, the murder, all those issues and our nation's moral climate, you would think there's no good news anywhere, but there actually is. There are places in this nation where God is moving and blessing, churches that are growing, souls that are getting saved. If none of you ever saw any more news the rest of your life when you came in and out of this church and the ministries that we have now on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and with all the drama practice and everything, and just in this environment of the great singing and preaching and seeing so many gifted singers and everything, boy, you'd think everything was wonderful in the world. And the truth of the matter is God's doing a lot of things that we don't ever see or don't ever hear about worldwide. I don't know if you get any of Franklin Graham's ministry reports or any of the other ministries. God's moving around the world. Souls are being saved. It is the end time harvest. I believe that with all my heart. God is moving. Our missionary, our church missionary, Brother Nathaniel Inslee out in Wyoming, he is in a little place called Burns, Wyoming. I think the population, it was 310 till he and his family went down. Now it's 317. He's got five children. And they were meeting in a school. This church is 5 years old. Now, so many towns, 2,200 towns in Wyoming, and 2,000 of them are less than 300. But at any rate, his little town, 300, they were meeting in a school, and God opened it up around the first of the year. They bought a piece of property from another church that had a camp minister there. It's got a full auditorium, chapel area. It's got housing. It's got cabins. About 25 acres, I think, maybe 15 acres, can't remember. But all those facilities, everything, the church had been saving up, and they paid a down payment. The church that owned it decided they would finance it for them at no interest. And so they paid a down payment, and their payment on the property is the same thing that we're paying in rent. God's blessed them. And he texted me this week, and we always text back and forth, talk back and forth, and he was rejoicing that on Sunday, during the previous week, their heating system had gone out, and so they had no heat in the building. They hurriedly got together, and they got one of those pellet stoves. It's like a wood-burning stove, but it burns pellets. And I'm going somewhere with all this rambling I'm doing. And they heated up. They heated their auditorium area, and he was rejoicing that they had 50 in church. There's 310 people plus his family in the town. But they had 50 of those people in his church. And of course, they come from the outlying areas as well. 50 of them. And he said it was 12 below zero. And he said, but in our building, it was 65 degrees. And he was rejoicing. God is on the throne. He just was in a conference in Denver, First Baptist Church of Denver. It's a big independent Baptist church. And he said there were probably 500 people there. There were 150 church planters like he and his wife. And what the church does every year, they had them present their needs. And they needed about $2,000 to get the some gas burners in the auditorium that would better heat the building. And then, of course, they knew that the fix the whole heating system was going to be a tremendous bill, so they didn't even request that. But they were requesting, you fill out an application, tell what you need. And he said that the way they did their meetings, a missions conference, local church mission, he said the missionaries would get up, and they'd tell who they were and what they were doing, and then the pastor would get up, and they'd say, who wants to help this ministry? And he said they gave him $2,100. And he was praising God that they gave him $2,100 that they can buy some propane heaters now to heat the auditorium with through the winter, which goes probably to May. And but at any rate, that's a blessing. But then a man came to him who owns a heating and air conditioning building, and he said, Brother Nathaniel, this will get you through. He said, but in the spring, he said, we're going to come, and we're going to put your heating system in your auditorium building absolutely free. So let's praise God. Amen. All together in that little conference or that conference, they raised over, I believe my wife showed it to me, I think it was $110,000 that was given in that meeting to to church planning preachers. God's still on the throne. He's still working. Amen. And but wicked men wax worse and worse. But our emphasis this month is on worshiping Him. I love that song. Great is thy faithfulness. He's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the future. You can trust Him. And we're emphasizing this month, worshiping Him and praising Him and looking to Him and realize who He is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm glad He didn't just start it. He's going to finish it. Amen. Paul writes in the book of Philippians and said, I know that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing is not over, folk. Praise God. It looks bad, and I do believe it is bad. I believe God's judgment will be on the whole world for it's over with. And so far as the sin of our nation, the abortion is a horrible thing. All the other moral sins are a terrible thing. Corruption, politics is a terrible thing. But the one thing that has sent America to destruction is when we turn our back on Israel. And so that discussion's already going on. I think Brother Roger mentioned that already. in men's breakfast yesterday morning. By the way, we enjoyed that, and Cliff Unger did a great job once again sharing with us. But you need to pray for Israel and pray for our nation. They would support Israel. And I hope that you'll be here when Brother Raff is here. I think he's probably the foremost authority on Israel in prophecy and current and in the future that there's in America. So on April the 30th, it's a Tuesday night, from 6 to 7, question and answer. And then from 7, we have the service. He'll do a multimedia presentation on Israel and Bible prophecy, or whatever God, it's related to Israel. I don't know what he'd call it, but it'd be a blessing. But now I want you to go to if I was going to plan this out myself, I'd have saved this thought to the end of the month when I'm talking about worship. But go with me, please, to the book of Revelation. Now, I've got a few minutes here to share with you, but I want to share this with you. Revelation chapter 5, and I want to read this whole chapter so you follow with me as I read. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, throne thereof, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and forever. I want us to pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful singing. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now in these moments, God, will fill me to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you'd speak. Father, it doesn't have to be long dissertations, but it has to be the direct voice of God to speak to a man's heart, that they might know that they are sinners, that they might know that Jesus Christ died to save them. And for those of us who are saved, it is that voice that said, Peace be still to the sea, that you could speak peace to our hearts in our time of sorrow, in our time of suffering, and God, in our time of the situation that's going on in this world. God, you can still give us a peace of God that passeth all understanding. You can still give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God, I know that, God, that you can do all that. And Lord, because of that and because of who you are, this morning we came to worship you. God, I pray you'd let me worship you. I pray, God, you'd let your people worship you. And I pray, God, that, Lord, we'll magnify you and join our Father in with the 24 elders and all the others who, Lord, bow before you and worship you. I pray, God, that you'd magnify yourself here in these next few moments. And God, I'll thank you and praise you. And give me your anointing, and I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful scene. I noticed this last phrase. It says, and they fell on their face, these people did. And they fell down and they worship him that liveth forever and forever. And you know what? They worship him as long as he lives. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on the worship service that will never end. I've been in some services and I hated to go home. I'm telling you, when God got real, old Mays Jackson used to say the Holy Ghost of God was so real in there, it was so foggy, you'd need a CNI dog to see how to get around. I've been there when every burden was gone, every care was gone, and we were in spiritual ecstasy worshiping the Lord, and he was so very real to us. And I hated to see it end, but then you have to come down off the mountain like he did on the Mount of Transfiguration and go back out into the real world. But can I tell you the day, there's coming a time when it cranks up. I mean, that worship service I've just read to you about will never, ever end. You'll be in it for all eternity if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It, just briefly, quickly tonight, this morning, let me just say this to you. He's reigning forever and forever. Jesus Christ is not going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said it in Matthew before he ascended back to heaven when he gave that great commission. He said to his disciples, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, all authority. He already has it. He already is sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He already is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be identified and proclaimed that one of these days, because the Bible said every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know what? Even for us believers, Paul writes in one of the books, and he says this, that now we don't see him. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And then he goes on, that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But then he says this, but we don't see it now. We can't comprehend it now. We don't understand it now. But he said, we don't see it as reality. We see the sin. We see the immorality. We see the corruption. We see all the devastation of what sin's doing in our nation. That's all we can see right now if we look at that. But he goes on, he says this, but we see Jesus. And he said, we haven't seen the finished work, but we see the finished workman. He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. It's a done deal. When you read this passage of Scripture, we see God Almighty on the throne and he's got a book in his hand. Let me just kind of quickly say a thing or two about this, and I'll go on. But according to Jewish custom and the Word of God, when they came into the Promised Land, God gave them all the different families certain portions of land, and then it was divided among all the family members. And they were never, ever to sell their portion of land. God gave that to the nation of Israel. But things happened. And from time to time, there would be famine. From time to time, there'd be hardship. God still didn't want them to give up the land, but they did. People just do things they ought not to do sometimes. Sometimes because of foolish decisions. Sometimes because of a foolish mistake or something. They lost possession of the land. But God put another thing in the law called the Day of Jubilee. Happened every 50 years. And at the end of every 50 years, all the debts were wiped out. If you owed a debt, you didn't owe any more debt. And then if you had a piece of property that your family had owned and somehow or another somebody else had taken possession of it and they had it, well, what happens is at the end of the 50 years, all that property reverts back. Now, in the interim time between the time of the year of Jubilee, every 50 years, if a person lost a piece of property somehow, that there could be a kinsman redeemer who could come and pay the debt and get it back. And in the story of the book of Ruth and Boaz, I shared that with you last Sunday night. That was the case of Naomi. Things got hard in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and they went down into Moab and got away from God. And they weren't supposed to do that, but they lost their possession in the land. Down there, Elimelech died, the boys died, and so just Ruth and Naomi come back. And they came back and they worked as a slave, basically, or just, you know, homeless people, pretty much. And Ruth went around the edge of the field and she would glean in the edge of the field. Oh, it's a wonderful story about God's grace. But anyhow, Boaz saw her and he fell in love with her, wondered who she was, and said that she was the daughter-in-law of Elimelech, who had died in Moab, and that Naomi was his wife. And said that you are near kinsman. You can redeem that. Long story. But that's what happened. He redeemed it. So here's what would happen. Just like you have a clerk of the court down here, there was a title deed to that property. Well, what they would do, on a scroll, they would write down why the property was lost. If it was lost due to bankruptcy or drought or whatever, or a foolish mistake or some sort of sale, they'd write it down. At the end of 50 years, it'd go back to the family. But they'd write it in a scroll, they'd roll that scroll up, and then they would seal it. And then there'd be a second scroll. And the second scroll was what it would cost to redeem it and get it back. And that's what Boaz did. He opened the seal on the scroll that said what he had to do to redeem that property. Now, later, instead of having two scrolls, they started just using one. And on the outside of that scroll, they'd write the name, the identification of the property, and why it was lost, and the date that it was lost. On the inside of a sealed scroll would read the requirement to purchase it back. Now, there are a lot of interpretations of Scripture, but in this particular passage of Scripture, I think that's what we're looking at. That book that he holds in his hand is the title deed to the world, this great possession. But it's been lost. God created it for man, formed Adam, put him in a perfect environment, gave him a perfect body, gave him a perfect wife, and he sinned. And the Bible said, whereas by one man sin into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. Not only was man cursed, and that every person born in Adam's race is born lost, separated from God. But the ground was cursed for Adam's sake. It brought forth thorns and thistles. And because of Adam's sin, death came into the world and sin came into the world. And every sin you could ever imagine, you can trace back to the garden. And what God intended for man to have and have dominion over and be blessed by, we lost it all. We lost our relationship with God. We lost our connection with God in heaven. We lost the beauty of this nation. As beautiful as it is, it's under the curse of God. And in that scroll was a payment to redeem all of mankind. And when John saw it, he said, and there was no man found in heaven or earth or nowhere else that could open the book, that none had been able to open the book. It means they tried. Men have tried to reclaim this world. We're going to save the planet. We're going to save the planet. And, you know, they talk about the world is overpopulated. I wish they'd go to Wyoming. I got on the interstate in Wyoming. The speed limit was 85, and I did like I did here. I drove 90. If it was 100, I'd drive 105. I don't know how many of you do that, but I do that. And I need to talk to Matthew because I'm not sure how much over the speed limit I can go and not get a ticket. But I always say 5. Some people said 10, but I'm not going to take that. I'll send 5, but I ain't going to send 10. And so here I go. And Regina took a picture of the speedometer, 90 miles an hour, on 85 mile an hour speed zone. And I rode for one solid hour, never saw another car, never saw another individual. We didn't even see a house. And at first I thought, man, this is great. There's no highway patrolmen's out here. And then I got to wishing there were some. I said, you know, Jesse James or somebody might be behind one of these rocks out here. He might have descendants out there robbing stagecoach, and now they're going to rob Hondas, you know. So I didn't know. But anyhow, I'm telling you, there's miles and miles of land nobody lives on. In Alabama or in Florida, where all the devastation is at, we rode from the panhandle of Florida, where there's been no change in 49 years. They have one Dollar General store in Ponce de Leon, Florida, out near the interstate. The hardware store closed. They had a little branch bank there. It closed. There's nothing there. Hadn't changed in 40-something years. If anything, it's gone down. You wouldn't believe it, because an hour and a half south around Panama City and all through there, it's just gazillions of people and buildings. But between there and that hour and a half right now, there's forest, woods, nothing. Nobody lives out there. This world is not really overpopulated. That's, you know, they say that. A lot of other things they say. But what I'm getting at is this. How are we going to redeem this? You're going to save the planet. You know, you go to a motel room, they got this thing, save the planet. Use your towel twice and you'll save the planet. You know, it's crazy. Makes some people feel good, you know. I'm saving the planet. You know, Ryan. I don't understand that. You know, going to save the planet, you know. But he looked and nobody could redeem it. The earth's under a curse. Nature's under a curse. The whole universe is under a curse. Men are under the curse. They're alienated from God. But then an elder says this, weep not. No, don't you weep, John. You're one of his. And he said, look, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he hath prevailed to open the seal. And it said, he said, I looked and I saw him, and there's a wonderful description over there, but it says this, I saw him as a lamb that had been slain. That's Jesus. Did you know that the lion is the lamb? Wow. The lion of tribe of Judah, the King of kings and Lord of lords, was the lamb that was slain for me and you. He did pay that sin debt. He did pay that sin debt. And when you go through and look in Ephesians, he said the redemption of the purchased possession, he bought back all that Adam lost for mankind, and he made a way for you to be saved, have all your sins forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nobody else. No, nothing else can do that. Nobody else could do that. And he said all of creation groans until that day that's going to be restored. It's going to be restored because of what Jesus did on the cross. I mean, listen, we're living the millennial reign of Christ. It'll be just imagine. Praise God. I'll tell you right now, Brother Terry, the bass bed every day in the millennial reign. Praise God. And the Bible said that we'll take the salt from the Dead Sea. The Bible said we're going to salt the fish. And so somebody's got to catch some fish. And I'm volunteering for that ministry. In the millennial, when Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years, I'm in the fishing business, praise God. Amen. I'll feed all y'all fish. But listen, he did that. Hey, he saw it not as past, but he saw it as present. He saw it not as future, but he saw it as in reality. It's going to happen in the future. He died in the past. He's living in the rough now. He's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's been boiled in oil. But thank God, he said, I saw him. And he said, I saw not only him, but I saw worshipers. He said they were gathered around him. And he said there were 24 elders and there were 4 beasts. All these are representative of people groups. I don't have time to go into all of this this morning. I'll deal with this some more tonight. But it's representative people of the redeemed. And listen, it said they all had harps. I never paid much attention to that before. But here they are. There's 4 and 20. That's 24. And then there's 4 more. There's 28 of them. 28 of them in his vision that are playing harp. But if you go on over in a little bit further in the Bible, in chapter 15, you'll find there's 144,000. They all got harps and they're playing harp. Man, there's going to be a whole lot of play. And for the people that don't like stringed instruments in church, I'm sorry. But when you get to heaven, there's going to be a bunch of them. Thank God. Because they're going to be shouting her out. I mean, we're going to be worshiping God and magnifying him. And look, notice, oh, what a wonderful thing it is. They're worshiping him. The object of our worship in heaven is the same object of our worship here. It is the redemptive lamb. It is he who loved us and died for us. And he's alive forevermore. I was telling somebody come in my shirt. And I said, it's my Easter shirt. I put it on this morning. And I realized, I said, that's my Easter shirt. That's my resurrection shirt. I said, that's all right. I'm celebrating the resurrection. He's still alive. Amen. Thank God he's alive forevermore. I want you to know right now, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I've come this morning to worship him and magnify him and praise him. And it says here that they worship him. And notice just quickly what it says as we finish up the thought this morning. Notice it says in verse number 12, saying with a loud voice. Now they wouldn't, you may be loud, you may not be loud, but then they were loud. Amen. They were loud. And they were saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are with them, heard I say in blessed and honor and glory and power. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but you know what he said in the book of Psalms, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That day's coming. That's never been fulfilled, not where I can comprehend and understand it. But he said that everybody in heaven, everybody on the earth, things under the earth, all the creatures in the sea, all the creatures in the air, they'll all be worshiping God. They'll be magnifying him. That means the bullfrog, where you thought they would say ribbit, ribbit, they're going to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what they're doing. Amen. Every creature, listen, I watch them out there and I feed the birds and they come from all over the place and I see them out there. Boy, they are just a singing and they are enjoying that. But boy, listen, there's coming a day that we'll understand really every creature, everything that hath breath, according to Psalms 150, praising the Lord. That's going to be a worship time. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm telling you, they're harping on their harps, and we're singing and shouting, and we're magnifying the Lamb of God. And notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. It says here near the end, verse 14, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and forever. I can't imagine what that's going to be like, but I got an idea that it's going to be something like this. We are gathered. I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling a little bit of Holy Ghost bump right now just even thinking about it. But you think about it, when we're redeeming, we're redeemed and we're worshiping that Lamb. And then over in the book of Revelation, there's a verse that has caught my eye, and I remembered something about it. There's a song that we hear around Christmas time, just at Christmas time. But my dear friend, listen, here was the verse that caught that man's handled attention. And it said this in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, and the seventh angel opened, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Here's a worship service won't never end, forever and forever and forever. You think about it. Think about it. Forever and forever. No more pain, no more sorrow. We've been redeemed by the blood. If you've been saved this morning, I want you to worship him. I want you to think about it. I don't know what it'll sound like when we get on the other side. Brother Ricky said, we got shirts on alike. I said, you want to let's sing together? He said, yeah, scared me to death. I thought to be sure he's got sense enough, he and I ain't going to sing. But listen, think about it. What's going to be like? Oh, Lord, have mercy. When we get to worship him forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what it means? It means worship him. It means glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand up with me? Think about it. Just think about being there one of these days, gathered around with all the angels, with all the creatures, with everybody, the 24 elders, and we are worshiping him who's slain before the foundation of the world. And he'll reign forever and forever and forever. That church service won't ever end. It'll be forever. Hallelujah. Worship him. Bless his name forever. Hallelujah. Thank God. Forever and forever. I'm saved forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Forever and forever. Oh, listen, worship him, children. Oh, listen. Oh, this one, I don't know anything about Handel, but I know something about this verse. Hallelujah. Listen to it and worship him as you do this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. Reigning. And we'll reign with him. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible just said. I read it to you. Forever and forever and forever. Praise God forever. Thank God that's all be over with. All the sin will be gone. All the hurt will be gone. All the separation, Sister Judy, Amy, whatever, be separated from my loved ones. We'll be together forever and forever and forever. And it's all because of him. He gets the praise. He gets the glory. Listen, worship him forever and forever. It's a service that won't ever end. A worship service where he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship him, children. Thank you, Lord. God, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. 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 Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Don't you ever forget, don't let the devil get you down. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the future, but he's faithful right now. My dear friend, he's got everything well in control. It's right on time, and he's coming soon. If you're ready, you'll get to go. If you're not, you'll spend eternity in hell. My prayers this morning, if you're in this building, in the internet audits or radio audits, that if you don't know him, you'll know him as Savior and Lord. When I turned and looked, I saw him as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, listen, I'll say more about it tonight. But that word slain tells us that it was a violent death. He on the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. I'm glad there was a day not so far north of here, my mama's front yard, on an old metal glider, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came in the person of the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world and forgave all of my sin. And he fixed me to where I'll get to live with him and worship him forever and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, I know the Holy Ghost of God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I'm able to ask or think. You came to this world to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God, if you convict them, I pray you'd draw them by your grace. They might get saved before they leave here today. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.